And it's funny because the hymn Count Your Blessings, we had the choir sang at our wedding. I'm sure you didn't know that. So, Ian jokes when I write a Christmas letter, he calls it an epistle, and this seems like one. There's been so much going wrong in my head this week. It's been a hard week. I've had a cold and my head's been full. And I did ask the Lord to guide my thoughts as to what to share, but I have nothing. So I'm sharing and I will try to speak fast. Writing this felt very selfish, as it is about me, my story. But I want to show how faithful God has been to me and to give him the glory. And I hope that comes across. So let's start at the very beginning. That's a very good place to start. All my life, he has been faithful. And this has been true for me. First photo, please. This is my mum and dad. My mum went to church when she was younger, St. John's CE, but my dad didn't. My mum worked in service. She worked in the munitions factory during the war. Was a weaver and a shop assistant. My granddad, dad's dad, came from Wrexham to work in the pits. My dad was the eldest of five boys and one girl, and my mum was the eldest of three boys and one girl. She was 10 years older than my dad. They met on the Monkey Run in Railway Road Lee and went out for a couple of years, then split up, mainly because of the war. But 8 years later, they met up again and got married. They got married in a registry office, as my dad wasn't a hypocrite. My mum was 38 and my dad 28. My dad worked in the pit on shift work and then at Sutcliffe and Speakman's. It was carbon, dirty job and shift work. After they had been married for about a year, my mum had a miscarriage. Then 3 years later, I was born. Someone once asked me if I thought I was a substitute. I never even thought about it. I knew I was loved. And as I was growing up, I would have loved a brother and sister. We had a dog and later a cat. And my auntie, dad's sister, who was 15 years older than me, was like a sister. I had numerous cousins and a few friends. As I was growing up, I had the feeling there was someone, something bigger than me, but didn't know who or what it was. Being an only child, I was shy with others until I knew them. Next photo, please. This is me, about 5 years old. I made friends at school with a girl called Denise. She lived in the next row. When I was six, she called one Sunday to see if I'd like to go to Sunday school with her. I asked my mum and dad. Denise's mum was taking us, so I went and enjoyed it. It was Lee Congregational Church. Went every week and even went to the Sunday morning services. Sunday school was in the afternoon. I passed my 11 plus and went to Lee Girls Grammar School. Didn't enjoy it all that much. Next photo, please. This is me, about 14. That's my dog, Rover, a lovely dog. I joined the guys, became a Sunday school teacher, brownie leader. Denise had stopped going in her early teens, but I kept going. I enjoyed it, and in a way I was proud as I was still going. Sermons and harvest, my mum came and watched me, but my dad didn't. But they watched it walking day. When I was 18, I went to teacher training college at Bretton Hall, came under Leeds University. Again, I did all the right things. I joined the Christian Union, went to the local Methodist church, pride again. At the Christian Union, I noticed the people had something different that I didn't have. Didn't know what it was exactly, but there was something. Talked about having a personal relationship with Jesus, something I had never heard in all the years I'd been going to church. One Sunday at the Methodist church, a group came from Sheffield to take the morning service. I remember one of them saying, "Who hopes they are going to heaven?" And quite a few, me included, put their hands up. Then he said, and I've never forgotten it, "Who knows they are going to heaven?" And again, some put their hands up. That really threw me, and I listened intently. And at the end he said, If you want that certainty that you are going to heaven, that knowing, then talk to one of us at the end of the service. They were at the door shaking hands with everyone. I shook hands and was going to open my mouth, but didn't. I went out and I was so upset. I knew I should have said something. I walked round the block to calm myself down, but there was an emptiness in my heart. When I got back to church, everyone had gone and it was locked up. I didn't realise I could do it at home in the quiet of my own room. A couple of weeks after that, I received a letter from a girl I knew, but not that well. She was a year ahead of me at grammar school and went to the Congregational Church and had gone to another teacher training college. She wrote to me out of the blue. It was a real surprise. Not had a letter from her before or since. She wrote to tell me of a group in Lee called Lee Christian Youth Group, who were meeting on Sunday evenings after evening services. It was at St. Thomas's Xavier Church in Lee. The first Sunday I was home was in the Easter holidays, and I went. They were very friendly. They were showing a Christian film starring Cliff Richard. I went every time I was home. On the bank holiday in May, they were going to Cliff College, a Methodist theological college. I hadn't a clue what Cliff College was and didn't know what to expect. Over the weekend, they had preachers speaking in tents, a bit like Keswick is now. I can't remember much about it, except it was a lovely day. And in the evening, we went to a meeting at a tent, and someone said Herbert Silverwood was speaking. I never heard of him. He talked about having a personal relationship with Jesus, gave an appeal for people to go forward during the last hymn if they wanted to ask Jesus into their lives. I had the same feeling I had in the Methodist church. I knew I should go forward. I remember there were quite a few verses in the hymn. It was all going round in my head. My heart was beating faster and my stomach was churning. I didn't want to feel like I did when the group from Sheffield had come. During the last hymn, I was arguing with myself and thinking, what will the others think, having been to church most of my life? It was in the last verse I went forward and Herbert Silverwood prayed with me. That was 53 years ago this May. I felt changed and thanked God for giving me a second chance. Everyone was thrilled. They said, tell someone. So I told the people on the coach and told my mum and dad. I don't think they understood, but I knew I had to tell them. The verse of a hymn often strikes me. Heaven above is softer blue, earth around is sweeter green. Something lives in every hue Christ's eyes have never seen. I was seeing things in a new light. I have never regretted it. All my life he has been faithful. I remember I had a real zeal and must have told everyone about Jesus. I don't remember doing this, but one of my college friends, who I'd kept in touch with via Christmas cards and letters, wrote to me about 11 years after and told me she had become a Christian and wanted to tell me as she remembered what I had said. I don't even remember talking to her about it. The main thing I did pray was that my mum and dad would also ask Jesus to be their Lord, Saviour and friend. I prayed every day. I still went to Lee Christian Youth Group, and in the July of that year, I went with them on holiday to a Christian Endeavour home. I had a lot more friends than I had ever had. I also wrote to my friend Denise about it. She was at another teacher training college. She died in 1993 of breast cancer when she was 40. I was different. I wasn't doing God a favour by going to church now. I was going because I wanted to worship him. At college, I carried on going to the Christian Union and at home went to the Lee Christian Youth Group, as well as my own church, which had now become a United Reformed Church and had a new minister who was saved. They also had a Bible study on a Friday evening led by Fred Tompkins from Culture. In the last year of college, I went to a meeting on a Saturday at the Welsh Baptist in Tilsley. I was sitting with a girl I knew from Lee Christian Youth Group, Grace. Then this man came in and sat in front of us. He sat with a couple who had a little boy, and the boy sat and really chatted with him, and I thought that was nice. Found out later his name was Ian. Anyway, it had gone foggy, and Grace's dad couldn't come for her as he'd been called out to work. So Ian offered her a lift, as he knew her from this church. And because I was with her, he offered me a lift too. That was in February. At the meeting, the leader said there was a meeting in March and said the date. And I thought I'd be home, as it was my mum and dad's silver wedding anniversary. They weren't having a party or anything, but I thought I'd surprise them coming home that weekend. I'd bought them a card and a present. I gave it to them on the Friday when I came home. Then I decided to go to the meeting on the Saturday evening. My mum and dad were going out with friends. I went for the bus but missed the one I went for, so waited for the next one, as I still would have been in time. While I was waiting, a car came by and stopped. It was Ian. He was taking his car to a friend's in Astley to do a job on it and was driving it to see if it was okay. Didn't usually come through Lee. Anyway, he stopped and asked me where I was going. And I said quite confidently, I'm going to the Welsh Baptist. To which he replied, I don't think it's on today, it is next week. I said, I remember the leader saying this date. Anyway, he gave me a lift to the Welsh Baptist and the church was locked. I can still remember the man saying the date, even though it was 51 years ago. Ian asked me if he'd like to go to his house for a drink of tea. His mother and sister were there. I said yes, and looking back, I can't believe I did that. Ian's mum was surprised to see us as he'd gone out for his car and came back with his car and me. Ian said that she said to him afterwards that she thought I was a bit young, as she thought I was a schoolgirl. He said I was 21, so she was okay then. Ages had come into our conversation. And the rest, as they say, is history. God incidents. I could not have made it happen. And all through our marriage, it has steadied us, knowing that God brought us together. God orchestrated it. All my life, he has been faithful. I was still going to the Lee Christian Youth Group, and they were the Baptist church now, and holding classes about being baptised. I felt I should, and asked my mum and dad to come. My mum said, you've been christened, which I thought she would say. I was christened at St. Peter's CE Church in Lee, the church to which the school Stuart used to teach at belonged to. Anyway, they came. All my life, he has been faithful. I was still praying for my mum and dad. In June 1974, I was coming to the end of my course, doing exams, applying for jobs, etc. There was a job advertised in the journal for a Christian teacher at Pennington CE School. They wouldn't do that now. I applied for it, and there were education questions, obviously, but I spent most of the time giving my testimony, and I got the job. When Ian and I were preparing for our wedding, I came down to go to church one Sunday morning, and my dad was dressed in a suit. I asked him where he was going. He said, church. I didn't believe him because he was always teasing. Anyway, he did come and got on well with the minister. Ian and I were praying which church to go to, as I was a Sunday school superintendent, Brownie leader, and in the choir, and Ian had spoken there sometimes. He also had quite a few roles here. Anyway, we didn't get anything. Then one Sunday night here, the man speaking said, are you in a rut and you don't know it? I don't know what else he said, but it struck me that I was praying which church to go to, but didn't really want to leave mine. So after we prayed, and after that we prayed and found a house we liked in Tilsley. We had looked at others, and so we came to this church. Next photo. We got married July 1977, 48 years at the end of this month. I became a member after we'd been married for about a year. Went to all the meetings, was team teaching a Sunday school class with Ian, went to the open air meetings, Bible studies, youth meetings after the service on a Sunday. After a while, we stopped going to them and went to the prayer meeting. And I wanted to know more about independent Methodists, so I read the magazine. About a year after I got married, I was reading a book. I went to work on the bus, so I usually read. the book said about being baptised in the Holy Spirit. A few weeks later, Frank and Jessa Lingens invited us to their house for tea. I forget now how it came about, but we were talking and I found myself telling them about the book I'd been reading and being baptised in the Holy Spirit. Frank asked me if I had been baptised in the Holy Spirit. I said no, I'd been baptised in water. He said, "Do you want to be baptised in the Holy Spirit?" I said yes, so he prayed there and then and around the tea table. I didn't speak in tongues straight away, but I did become bolder and learned to open my mouth and let the Holy Spirit fill it. I thought I was speaking rubbish at first, but I did feel a sense of relief and boldness which has grown. My dad continued to go to church for a while, but the minister left as his stewards told him they wanted more of a social gospel. So the minister found another church and advised my dad to go to the Evangelical Congregational Church in the Avenue. When my dad became a Christian, he stopped drinking as much and eventually stopped smoking. He tried before to stop, but went back. This time he stopped and never smoked again. I was still praying for my mum. I invited my mum and dad to an evening service here when Noah Proctor was speaking and thought my mum would respond. She didn't. I was very emotional and was so uptight about it. I had to leave her, and my mum was upset because I was. On the Monday, my dad said, "I had upset my mum. I didn't mean to." And I apologised. But I learned an important lesson, that you cannot push anyone into the kingdom. They have to do it themselves. The right time. God's timing. Just pray. Let go and let God. The church my dad went to held small Bible groups, and they held some in my mum and dad's home, which my mum attended. Her faith was revived and she was refreshed. I thought it would be my mum who became a Christian first. When we got married for a bit, when we had been married for a bit, we thought about children, but nothing happened. So I mentioned it at the prayer meeting. The word I received was, "Not your time, but my time." And John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Which gave me a peace that the answer was a no. But it was a hard time, as my friends who had got married were having children. Anyway, about 3 years after we got married, Stuart was born. In 1985, my mum passed away. Stuart was 4. The minister of their church told me she had a faith and had a personal relationship with Jesus. My prayers for my mum and dad had been answered in God's time, not mine. I knew she was a Christian and know where she had gone. All my life, he has been faithful. My dad carried on going to the Evangelical Congregational Church till it closed, then went to the Kirkhall Lane IMs, was baptised in water at one of our baptismal service at the baths. Then when he couldn't walk to Kirkhall Lane, he went to the parish church at the top of the road. This is the man who didn't go to church. He came to our coffee mornings too, and I got to know my dad better during this time. After a bit, I didn't want Stuart to be an only one, like me. Thinking we've had one, we can have another, but that wasn't the case. An evangelist, Paul Morley, who came to our church speaking at times, sent a newsletter saying about his time in Africa, and he'd prayed for about 12 women who'd wanted to have a baby, and all of them were pregnant. Stuart was 7 at the time. When I read this, I thought, when he comes to church again, I will go forward for prayer. Then I heard he was coming in May. But as the time grew nearer, I had doubts and said to the Lord, "If he says about his African adventures and the women, I will go forward." A repeat of when I became a Christian, I think I would have learned. Anyway, it seemed he spoke for nearly the whole service about his African adventures and the ladies. So I went forward for prayer, and the next month I conceived. Andrew was born the beginning of March. He was due at the end of February. Stuart had turned 8. Next photo. The Lord blessed us with two lovely boys. I know all children are a gift from God, but I know I was a heir. All my life, he's been faithful. Stuart and Andrew came to know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour and have grown and been used by him. While they were growing up, I did supply work, was involved with the playgroup, Precious Gems, Plan Secretary, led some nurture groups with Ian, the junior fellowship, Sunday school teacher, librarian. In fact, when I took over, the library was in a cupboard in the corner of reception. I asked the church meeting for permission to bring it into church, and they said yes. And it's lovely to see Chloe carrying on the tradition. My dad had cancer and had an operation. He recovered well for 3 years, but then he reoccurred. I wanted him to come and stay in our front room with us, but he wanted to be in his own house. So I dropped Andrew off at school every morning and went to my dad's, and then went to pick Andrew up later. Ian called after work, and my dad's neighbours and his sister were very good. Stu went to Bangor University to study music in September 1999, and 2 weeks later my dad passed away, 14 years after my mum. I went from washing for 5 people to 3. That really struck home to me. But I knew where my dad had gone and knew he wasn't in pain anymore. Stu and Mrs. Jen, next photo, and got married. A month later, Andrew went to York St. John's University to study history. It was the emptiness syndrome, and we watched Toy Story 3 just before Andrew was going. In the film, the boy is called Andy, and he was going to college and packing his toys away. I shed loads of tears, and Andrew still jokes about Toy Story 3. Stuart and Jen had Chloe, our first grandchild. Andrew met Becky in university, and a year after they finished, they got married. Next photo. We have 2 lovely daughters-in-law. We couldn't have picked better ourselves. All my life, he has been faithful. Stuart and Jen then had Joseph, and after quite a bit of prayer, Andrew and Becky had Jesse. We are blessed with 3 lovely grandchildren. Chloe, 15 today, Joseph, 9, and Jesse, 6. All my life, he has been faithful. Seems like a happily ever after story. But no, as Christians, we are not immune to trials and troubles. But we have someone with us all the time, Jesus. I felt alone at times, being an only child. But Jesus understood me, and I felt he was with me all the time. All my life, he's been faithful. In 2015, I had a health issue, which at the time was manageable. But in 2019, it got worse. Various trips to the doctors and hospital. I needed an operation. Lockdown didn't help. It made it worse. Anyway, the night before I went into hospital, I told Ian and rang Stuart and Andrew and said, if anything, something happens, I wanted Stuart and Andrew to do my funeral together, if they could, and to do a duet. But if they couldn't, I gave them the name of someone else. I know things can happen in operations, but I wasn't afraid because if I did die, I knew where I was going. I knew I was going to heaven. I wasn't afraid of death, as I had a relationship with Jesus. I knew him as my Lord, Saviour and friend. Because of COVID, Ian wasn't allowed to come with me, so I asked the receptionist when I would be back on the ward. She said about 6 o'clock, so I texted Ian and I went into the hospital at noon. During the pre-assessment, before going down to the theatre, the nurse said she wanted to take my blood just in case. It wasn't on my notes. I had a piece while I was waiting to go down to the theatre. The only thing I was bothered about is that some had walked there and I didn't think I could do it. But an orderly came for me with a trolley to lie on. All my life, he's been faithful. The operation should have taken an hour and a half. I was bleeding a lot. So the fact that the nurse had taken blood to match, I felt she had been prompted by the Lord, as the operation took double the time and I had to have a blood transfusion. He told me afterwards he rang the ward a little after 6, but I wasn't there. Only got there after 8. Ian and everyone were concerned, but I was oblivious, as out of it. I knew where I was going. I had a relationship with Jesus. I'd stayed in hospital I had to stay in hospital as an infection. But when I was reading my Bible, a nurse came in and chatted to me. She was a Christian. And another time, the hospital chaplain had a chat. So even though I had no visitors, God provided. All my life, he's been faithful. When I came home, it took quite a few months for me to recover. And when I was convalescing, I did a lot of reading. Bible, Christian books, fiction books. A verse from the Old Testament spoke volumes to me. I'd read it before, but that is the wonderful thing about the Bible. You can find something new when you keep reading it. It is the living word, and it blessed me. Isaiah 43, verses 2, part of 3. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. And also got my favourite from the New Testament, which I've shared before, John 14, 27. While I was convalescing, I prayed, when I get back to church, not if I get back to church. I said to the Lord, let me know what you want me to do. A new job I hadn't done before, or one I'd already done. The first Sunday I came back, they asked for people to help on the laptop. Now, technology isn't my thing, but I felt prompted, and Joanne showed me, and I was put on the rotor. At the annual meeting, I took over as plant secretary, which I'd done before. So I'd prayed for either a new or old job, and got both. The Lord has a sense of humour. Do one and get one free. All my life, he's been faithful. Jesus has been leading me, and I can be physically alone, but will always have Jesus with me. A personal relationship, talking and listening to him, as that's how relationships develop. There is a poem called Footprints. A person is walking along a beach talking to God. Looking back, they see in the bad times of their life, there is only one set of footprints, and ask God why. God says, that is when I carried you. Looking back, I can see how God has been with me. But going through the circumstances, especially about children, it was really hard. But all my life, he has been faithful. There are still things that happen. That's life. In June, we went to Llandudno. On the way there, the car broke down. It just lost power. Ian knew the area as we had been many times when Stuart was at Bangor University. So he put the hazard on and juddered on the hard shoulder as he knew there was a lay-by coming up. When we got there, Ian asked at the butty bar where we were. They said near Llandudno, which didn't help as we were only half an hour away from it. Ian rang recovery, and they were very good, and rang us every 15 minutes to see if we were okay. The man with the recovery wagon rang us in 45 minutes and said, where exactly are you? Ian said which junction we had passed and said we're in a lay-by and there was a butty bar. The man asked if there was a yellow car there. There had been. They had just shut the butty bar and gone home. So we said yes. The man said, I know exactly where you are. The Lord knew exactly who to send. The recovery wagon came and took us to the garage. They used the computer machine and quickly diagnosed it. It was a second injector. It would take overnight to do the job as they had to order and fit it. The Lord looked after us again as the man who owned the garage took us and our luggage to our hotel in Llandudno. I'd rung Stuart and Andrew when we broke down for them to pray. The car was ready on Tuesday. We were just going Monday to Wednesday. But with the car taking up time, Andrew rang the hotel and booked another night for us, which was really lovely of him. It thrilled us and we had a lovely time and the weather was good. The Lord is faithful. It reminded me of the verse in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who have been called according to his purpose. At the moment, someone is targeting our back gate. Keep banging into it with some strength, taking the bracket off and bending the bar. Ian has to keep putting the bracket on and straightening the bar. Happened 4 times, once when we were in Scarborough, once when we were in Llandudno, and twice while we've been home. It is frustrating. Don't know why it's been happening. Been there 48 years. and he's been there longer than that and not happened before. We keep praying and know that it will be sorted out. He has put a heavier bracket on, praying that whoever is doing it will come to know Jesus as their Lord, Saviour and friend in time. And then we will say, as with other things, the rest is history. But while you're going through the circumstances, as I said, it is hard. It is easy to look back and see God at work and say, all my life, he has been faithful. The son of a lady who came to together for tea has a business, and I mentioned to him he shouldn't have so many vans in the street. He had four. He turned and threatened me and my family, and another time he said he would burn the house down with me inside. It did shake me up, still praying through it. I do get on with this moment. She said, don't take any notice, he's all talk. But still. Our latest thing, it is a minor when you think of people with terminal illnesses and bereavement, but it's our washing machine. We have a plan and they came out to repair it, but it couldn't be repaired. But they replaced like for like. But when they sent the information, the height was different to our machine by 10 millimetres. The lady on the phone said the model we had was 850 millimetres, but we didn't get it. So at the moment, can't order it. I still want it in the middle of the kitchen because we can't get it under the worktop. Frustrating now, but I know that when we look back, we will see the Lord dealing with it. God cares about the little details in our life. If you'd like to know more about asking Jesus to be your Lord, Saviour and friend, ask anyone here or come to the prayer corner after the service. We'd love to talk and pray with you. Or if you've already done that and want to go on with the Lord, again, talk to someone you trust. Read your Bible and pray every day to develop that relationship with him. As I said, I have never regretted making that decision. He is with me in all circumstances, good and bad. And all my life, he has been faithful. He is faithful. He has been faithful. He is faithful. And I know he will be faithful in the future. So that we can give him the glory, because great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord. Thank you for listening.